are in a series of a year phrase of resilient together. God just really put on my heart as we as Christians need to understand what it does mean to be a Christian, and resilient together was such a key two words. And I just got this image of like a redwood tree, the redwood trees that collaborate together. They are the tallest trees in the world, and yet they are so deeply connected. They don't suffocate one another. They actually empower one another to bring life and flourishment. And so this phrase that I just love, we've been unpacking through this year, and we started at the beginning of the year. If we want to be resilient, it matters what you're rooted to. It matters what you're rooted to. If you are rooted, unrooted, or your foundation is weak, you'll easily get pulled up and pulled out. And so we've started the beginning of the year looking at what it means to be a people who are deeply rooted and connected, formed in the soil of the way of Jesus. And so that phrase was looking at the lies we believe about God and one another, the disordered desires that we have, desires that I have for my wants and needs, and actually to live in the way of Jesus, which says, I want to deny my desires and pick up the way of Jesus and his desires. So I can be deeply rooted in the unshakable foundation that is Jesus Christ. And so since then, we've shifted this week in the second part of this phrase. They are rugged in commitment, strong, dependable fixtures to their communities. People of courage is what we want to talk about. Okay, this is not going to work. Can you go to the courage slide there, Tristan? And we're just going to, I'll just have to tell you to do next slide. So courage, people of courage, strength in the face of pain or grief, much like I'm facing with technology right now. The pain and the grief that I'm facing, in strength facing the grief, strength of mind to carry on in spite of danger or difficulty, full of heart. That's what courage means, to be someone that is strong in the face of pain or grief, strength in mind to carry on in spite of danger or difficulty, someone who is full of heart. We're not chameleons that look like the culture. We're not afraid to step out and declare the goodness of Jesus, but ones who stand tall, ones who stand with boldness and witness because they know Jesus Christ. Do you have that vision for your life today? Yeah, quiet, that's good, that's fine. And you are so welcome here today if you're like, I don't know if I can say yes to that. You're so welcome here today because it is not in your strength that any of this ever happens. And we need to, as Christians, reawaken the vision of courage in our lives. Do you want courage in your life today? Okay, we got the yes there. At least we're on that point. We all agree that we could do with some more courage. Because I believe in this moment, as where the chaos of society is happening, Christians have two attributes which shine brighter in darkness. That is hope and courage. If we want to look countercultural, in this moment, which I think is a gift that God is shifting this nation so that what is true will remain true. And so we will find out in our own spirits what is true and what is not in our own lives. And so I want us to reawaken that. And so what is the foundation of courage is the question we're going for. So next slide, let's have a look at this passage here today. Would you stand for the reading of the word? The passage found in chapter as Acts chapter 1 and verses 1-8. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all Jesus began to do and teach until the day when it was taken up after and he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. Ever wondered what Jesus was talking about? He was talking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And so when they came together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know these times or seasons that the Father has fixed on his own authority. But you You all will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning that we have sung of praises in the face of hardships. We have sung of firm foundations, and we have sung of a God who is holy forever. Lord God, we ask that you come and move in this place as we speak about the Holy Spirit today. The birth of the church was found in the Spirit of God. And so, Lord, we just ask that you come and fill us anew. Fill us afresh, Lord Jesus. Come bring your empowerment to us. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Please be seated. If you go to the courage slide there, Tristan. And so, summer of 2001. Anyone remember the summer of 2001? It was a great year. Summer of 2001. I was 16 years old. A young, fresh Johnny. And I was transitioning schools from that year at 16 years old, 16 to 18, moving to a whole brand new school. So it's this season of shift in my life. And also with my spirituality, I just come alive to Jesus a bit more. I'd started to make my own decisions apart from my parents of who Jesus was. And I remember this, and I've shared this story before, but it was so pinnacle in my life, that at 16, went to this youth camp, about 10,000 Christians. And in England, that is massive. That is huge. It was one of the main events. And through the week, there was this pulling on my heart for God to come move more in my life. And it was a morning session. I remember going up to the front. I cannot for life remember what the message was about. But I remember the call for more of him. And I came up to the front. And I just knelt down. And in that moment, just began to say, God, I want to give you all of my life. I want to make that decision again. As I grew up in church, I want to make this decision that I am making today. In this moment, this electricity went through my whole body, which I can only describe as the filling of the Holy Spirit. That came through my whole being. And from that moment on, there was a difference in me. There was a shift in my heart, a shift in my life. And the reason why I stand before you today, or every Sunday that I do to preach, is because of the Holy Spirit. It is not because I have something like, oh yeah, Johnny, you should preach better if this is really the Holy Spirit, right? Okay. But actually me stepping into this space is an absolute miracle. Of who I am, but also what I start with on a Monday morning. When I come to this message and what the Holy Spirit begins to shift in my heart over and over again, it is the power of the Holy Spirit through all that we do. It's the very courage that the Spirit brought for me to move countries from Australia to America. I was from the UK originally, just in case anyone's, where is he from? UK, Australia, America. It's the courage to be a father. It's the courage to pray for people to see breakthrough. It's the courage to even stay and remain when it's challenging, amen? It's the Holy Spirit inside of us that pushes us to be more than ever we could think, dream, or imagine. The very life that I have is because of the gift of the Holy Spirit. It infuses courage into my very heart. It is the gift which is the foundation of courage. The Holy Spirit is the very gift of all of this. So in this passage that we actually read, Jesus knew that these men and women, remember last week, if you were here with us on Easter Sunday, these two people were walking away from Jesus because they had lost hope, they had lost courage, and they were going to their Emmaus. Last week we talked about hope as resilient hope, and we all have Emmauses that we walk to, and God is calling us back. And so Jesus taught for 40 days about the Word and Scripture, about who he was. But he knew this. It would not be enough for them to have head knowledge of who God is. They needed the Holy Spirit to be able to be witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. They needed the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And so what I want to almost journey with today is, what is this gift and how do we grow in it? So what is this gift? If the Holy Spirit is the very courage that we need, the Holy Spirit is the foundation for any courage, And in this room, remember that statement where we would be rugged, committed, courageous, dependable people? And we stood in this room kind of stunned, like, yes, I do. But that's really challenging. With that statement, it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit can any of this happen. And so I want us to reacquaint ourselves with the Holy Spirit today. Maybe you've never heard of the Holy Spirit before. Maybe he's that Holy Ghost that is far away from you. But actually, I want to make him real today. So what is the gift and how do we grow in that gift? If the gift of courage is the Holy Spirit, how do we grow into that? And so Holy Spirit, if you go to slide 5 there, Tristan. Holy Spirit as a gift. God's empowering presence. Can we say that together? God's empowering presence. God's empowering presence. Now, if you're a scholar, Gordon Fee has a book with this title. It's 1,000 pages long. I haven't read it because 1,000 pages is way too much for me. But I love scholars who give me, and this is the one line from him, God's empowering presence. There is weight to that statement, which is so beautiful. The Holy Spirit is the Trinity. He is the Spirit from the beginning. He's the Spirit that hovered over the earth. And I love that the Bible's story from beginning to end is God moving nearer and nearer to his people. That's the story. That God is moving nearer and nearer to his people. And this is kind of the fulfillment of thousands of years of promise. Not only Jesus dying and dying for our sins, but preparing a place for us so that the Holy Spirit, the gift, the first fruits can rest in us. So God's empowering presence, God's presence, God's person. The Holy Spirit is a person. It's a living being. It is not a force like Star Wars, but it is a person. And that matters. Seeing the Holy Spirit as a person matters. A living being who we are in relationship with. And the beautiful thing that Jesus on the night of the cross taught his disciples was, I must go away. I must go away so this gift can come to you. Now, just imagine yourself as a disciple. You've been walking with Jesus for 3 years. This man can talk to you face to face, tell you everything about yourself, and begin to awaken things inside of you that you never knew was possible. You had this tension point of Jesus that was like, he was a mystery. He was always escaping, where is Jesus? Like, where's Waldo? Where is Jesus? There was that element to him. But when you were around him, you felt safe. There was this safety, there's this comfort that brought around him. This mystery, this challenge, but also this comfort. And he's saying, I've got to go away because something better is going to be here. Your mind would be blown in that moment. What on earth could be better than a face-to-face relationship? Because that's what all of us would really want, right? If I could have Jesus just face-to-face, then I would believe. Jesus would say, it's not true. Because the heart can never be transformed if I stay outside. If I do not go to be with the Father and send my Spirit, we can't see the transformation that we need. And I love that he said that we would not leave us as orphans, but I'll give you another helper. So someone that is like Jesus. He will be with you and in you. Now, just a quick hit today. Jesus does not live inside of you per se. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. The Spirit of Jesus lives inside of you, sure, but it's the Holy Spirit. And so a lot of times we always think of Jesus living in our hearts. Jesus is ruling and reigning at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you right now. Another confidence booster would be, if I could just hear Jesus praying for me in the next room, then I'd be really good. But the Holy Spirit is that advocate as well who is interceding for you. And he will be with you and in you. There is no separation from you and God. Now, those who confess Jesus is Lord and believers are filled with the Spirit. Now, we learn by this phrase, Galatians chapter 5, Paul says to walk in the Spirit. I love that phraseology, to walk in the Spirit. That, for me, who is a very fast-paced walker, that causes me to slow down a bit. There is a pace to the relationship. There is a pace of love that we have to move with. And when we move that pace, when we try and run ahead, He's leaving behind. But sometimes when we're stagnant, when we don't move, he is walking on ahead. Walking has motivation. It has a relational. Think back to when you walk with a friend. Or you walk with someone and the joy that it is to walk with them. Walk in the Spirit daily. There's a daily action of development of relationship. So it's the God's personhood inside of you, presence, and he's empowering you. He's empowering you to be more than you could ever think, dream, or imagine. He's the one who produces, Galatians 5 goes on, to produce fruits in you. So as a Christian, there is a measure of responsibility on you. I don't know whether it's Spider-Man that originally caught this, but with those who have great power, great responsibility. Know that quote? Yeah, good. And that's the reality of what God is saying. I have given you immense power, the same power that conquered the grave, lives inside of each and every one of us. And there is a responsibility upon us to produce. Galatians 5 will say the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, all nine. Yes. It's like the students start running through the names. God's power produces fruit. So we know that we're filled by the Holy Spirit. When you ask Jesus into your heart, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. You receive the Holy Spirit inside of you, the full measure of God. Suddenly you have this relationship with God, interconnected like never before, and it is a walk. Now, why don't we see, so Johnny, why don't we have instant courage? Why don't we have these moments of powerful movements? Well, for those who are married in the room, or maybe even a friendship, did you know everything about that person from the offset? No. Some of you are like, I wish I didn't know some of the stuff that I know, you know. But it's this reality of that as I walk with that person, more and more is revealed about who that power and person is. Amen? That's the reality that we live in. There is a personhood of the Holy Spirit which is slowly being revealed as we abide, as we remain in the Spirit, as we daily sink ourselves into the truth of Scripture. As we sit with the Holy Spirit, as we pray this simple prayer every day, come, Holy Spirit. Come awaken me to what is already inside of me because I want to know more of your power. I want to produce more fruits like a tree that is already grounded in the truth of what it is. Like when I'm married with Rachel, I cannot be any more married to Rachel, right? But I can know her more. And it does look like marriage. It looks like an increased of marriage. But she is physically with me, and I am learning, and we are walking together, learning and growing together. And that's what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It means to surrender your heart, to say, I want to know you more. I'm with you. This is the promise. This is the gift. I don't have to achieve to take more of you. You are with me right now. But I need to let that filling encompass all of me. All of me. And so the journey of God's empowering presence is simply surrender. And surrender looks like waiting on God. Can we go to the next slide there? This is the journey of the Holy Spirit. So if the journey of the Holy Spirit is the foundation of courage, that's the truth. He is God's empowering presence. That is the gift given to each and every one of us. Luke 11 says that it is the greatest gift. It's the greatest gift that we need to receive. The gift is in the waiting. I don't know about you, but nothing says surrender like waiting. Anyone else in the room with me? Anyone who has kids? Waiting is like the repetitive word I use for my kids. Wait. It doesn't matter how slow I say it. It doesn't change anything. Wait. And they're just like, but seriously, why not now? And I'm like, I'm an inner child as well. I'm waiting for things to change and shift in my heart. Wait. If you go to the next slide there, Tristan, just a couple of passages. Jesus will say the same thing. This great gift that I want to give you, wait. Wait, hold on to that word in a moment. While staying with them, he ordered them not to depart. Don't divorce yourself from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, to which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Psalm 27:14, wait for the Lord. So why? So we can be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Psalm 31:24, be strong and let your heart take courage. All who, let's say it together, wait. Wait for the Lord. Go back a slide. So we want to be people who learn to wait. Elijah, anyone seen, I'm pretty sure no one in the room probably has seen this, but I'm going to throw it out there. Has anyone seen Godzilla X versus King Kong New Empire? Yes, me and Jared went. Me and Jared. So I get it. No one's going to probably see this in the room. It's pretty epic. But and it's not something I would go choose to see, but you have a son who loves, for whatever reason, Godzilla. He loves Godzilla, big and powerful. He liked Gordon out of the Thomas the Tank Engine thing, the big grumpy ones. He's just, I don't know. Anyways, but Godzilla was his favorite. And for 6 months, and if you know my son, he is relentless, would bring the iPad or whatever and be like, hey, Dad, they've put a new little trailer out. I got the 10-second one originally, but now they've added an extra couple of seconds. Let's watch it and see what's different. Start saying, oh, who's that character? What's that? And so relentlessly, he would Google and start to be interested about all these different components. And when it came to the movie, can I tell you, this boy was pumped. I'm excitable, and I had to tell him to tone it down several times. I was like, Elijah, shh, calm down. He would be Liam, his cousin, he'd be like, this scene, you see that? Oh my gosh, let's go. And he was just pumped through this moment, because waiting does something to us. It either encourages us, it makes us super excited, or if in reality, it can diminish who we are. Waiting can also be very painful. It matters how we wait on the gift. What would stir you to wait well? What would stir you to wait well? To wait well on a gift. Think about that gift that you really want. What stirs in your heart for that to happen? What do you do today if you're not hungry for the Holy Spirit? What do you do if waiting and hunger has completely failed you today? And I think for many of us, we are in the spiritual walk an ebb and flow of encouragement and despair. We are this roller coaster of emotions that feels like God is the greatest. He is my firm foundation, the rock in which I stand. And then the next moment we can stand, God, I need you to be my firm foundation right now. And these two passes that happen in our lives are the tensions that we live in, because waiting matters. Waiting matters. And so we want to talk about, first point, to wait in the gap. Slide 8, please. Thank you. Waiting. The gift, so slide 8, next one. The gift is in the gap. Waiting matters. Remember I talked about waiting. Jerusalem waiting. Now, Jesus said, don't depart, don't divorce yourself from Jerusalem. Why did Jesus tell them to do that, not to leave? Well, Jerusalem a couple of days ago, was 40 days ago, was pretty painful. It was this moment where their Messiah had been crucified. It was the most religious city of the day. It was the hardest spiritual ground to be in. Jesus said, don't leave. Wait. I would have been a disciple. Can we wait for the Holy Spirit in Galilee or Capernaum? Like, we're kind of fanboys over there. Like, we've got a big deal reputation. Like, a couple of, like, Peter's like, I did some healing miracles over there. Like, I feel a little safer in the places that I had so much success. I feel safer waiting in my comfortability. Jesus says, I want you to wait in the pain. I want you to wait in the pain. Because the reality is, good times don't teach you much. It's the painful moments which stir often most in us. They teach us the most. It's the trials that will make me stronger. And when we get comfortable, we make the wrong choices. Jesus knows this, that we are always creatures of comfort. We are wanting to withdraw back to the spaces where I feel certain. And we always pray this prayer, God, if you want me to be hungry for your spirit, if I could just get this breakthrough, if I could just feel this level of comfort, then, man, I'd be so hungry for you. I'd be on fire for God. That's just not reality. You'd be maybe more thankful, but you would not be more hungry for God. And so God actually uses the trials, the things that we go through, to cause you to be uncomfortable. Because it is in the uncomfortability that we are able to create desperation for change. I always say to people, is the pain of remaining the same outweighing the pain of change? Is there a pain inside of you right now that you need to change? The pain of remaining the same, that pain must outweigh the pain of change. It just must. And in these moments, we get desperate. I remember when a couple of years we had a miscarriage, and then another year later we had Eliana, who had a seizure, which by the grace of God healing, she is still good, has never had another seizure again, which is awesome. For both our kids, it's this crazy thing where something crazy happens and it just diminishes. It's almost like Jesus allows it, touches on it, and then renews them. It's amazing. And in that, God stirs my hunger. It's like, for me, I dig deep into God. I begin to cry out to him. It draws me closer. My discomfort draws me closer. If you go to the next slide there, Tristan, a quote from Leonard Ravenhill. I love this quote. It says this, to the question, where is the God of Elijah? It's almost the question of this world. Where is God? And we answer, where he has always been on the throne, but where are the Elijahs of God? This is Ravenhill saying this. Where are the men and women who will hold to the authority of God, who will be the very empowerment to the world that so desperately needs to see a visual Jesus? Jesus doesn't have a body anymore. We are his body. We are his hands and feet to those around. We know Elijah was a man of like passions as we are, but alas, we are not men of like prayer as he was. One praying man stands as the majority with God. All it takes is one man to shift a nation. Today, God is bypassing people, not because they are too ignorant, but because they are too self-sufficient. Brethren, our abilities are our handicaps, and our talents are our stumbling blocks. Go back a slide. So this is the reality that we have to wrestle with. My question to you today, the gift in the gap, do you have a gap of uncomfortability in your life today? Or do you have all the securities, all the comfortabilities? Because God is saying, I want to move on your behalf. I want to show the world a testimony of my goodness and my glory through your life. But the tension is that we become so comfortable with sitting in a Sunday service, which, you know, Point View is a nice church to come to. We'd love for you to come back. It has pretty okay music. The guy is questionable in his preaching, but it's okay. And we try and get out on time, and I just come out once a week, and I get to leave, and I get to do my own thing. But I think God is saying, if you, Point View Church, want to be more resilient, would you be rooted? Would you be more courageous? And that means creating gaps. Gaps of vision of what God wants to stir in your heart. See, for me, I've got a vision, what God has given us, a renewal of Washington. And as I drive through the city every day, I'm reminded of the gap which feels impossible. But I pray every day, God, awaken the dry bones in Washington. Awaken the spirit that is in this Washington area, this highly religious, it feels like Jerusalem. Highly religious area. This is a weird Bible Belt area. It's like we've got a lot of high church, a lot of religious activities, a lot of doing good things, but there is lack of relationship. Washington has so many churches, it's ridiculous. So why isn't it transformed? because we're just consuming. We're not empowering people to be who they're called to be. Your life is a testimony of God's goodness. And there is a gap that needs to happen in your life. There needs to be a stretch that you need for your life. You need a gap. And so that is the first point. In waiting, we need to have a pain point. We need to have that expectation of one day, God, I have a vision of transformation in my family, in my work life, that Jesus Christ, because the power of the Spirit inside of me, calls me to so much more. Does that make sense this morning? Okay? You've got a gap and you need it. So ask the question, am I comfortable right now? Or do I have a gap where the Holy Spirit can empower me to something more? Next slide, Tristan. And second point today, we've only got 2 points, so... this is great. When they returned to Jerusalem from the moment called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away, and when they entered, they went up to the upper room, and they were staying. Peter and John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, the son, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. Great guys. All these, one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer together with the woman and Mary and the mother of Jesus and his brothers. Next slide on that. This is the point that I want to make to us today. Behind the gift is behind the closed door. So if the gift is in the gap, so we need a gap in our lives, we need a vision which causes us to stretch. It causes us to do things which are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Like preaching on a Sunday is me going, it is beyond me. I need you, Holy Spirit. That's why Saturday night I am praying, God help me. Sunday morning I'm waking up early, God help me, right? I'm asking these things on a daily basis. God, I need you because there is a gap that I need the Holy Spirit to fill right now. But that doesn't work if we don't have the gift that is behind the closed door. There is a gift that we need as Christians to go behind the closed doors, to say no to other things. These disciples closed the door on other things around and said, we are going to devote ourselves to the one thing. We're going to close ourselves off to those things which are less important, less meaningful. We're going to examine the things in our hearts and we're going to say, God, we want all of you. Jesus would often ask people, what do you want? Like, what do you want, blind man? Obviously, we'd say to see, but I think often we don't know what we want. And the invitation, Jesus is saying, you need a gap, you need a pain point. Comfortability will not cause you to grow, but you need a devotion that says, this is the one thing that I want. This is the desire. And so my question to you is Jesus the one thing? Is Jesus the one that says, I'm going to close the door to the other desires and I'm going to focus on him? We're not going to do it perfectly, but do you have a heart posture, a desire that says, I'm going to do that? Psalm 63, if you go to the next slide there, Tristan. Psalm 63 says this, and this just wrecks me every time I read it. And just the first line really is so powerful. But because your love is better than life. Is that true for you today? That you could say, because Jesus, because of God, your love is better than everything I experience in this life. Your love is better than anything. Can you say that with confidence today? Because I know I can't. So I imagine that all of us are in this tension and journey of love that we so desperately need from our Father. He goes on to say, this is a Psalm 63. He's written this in the desert when his son Absalom has chucked him out of his own kingdom. He is not in a happy place sipping on his coffee. He is in the desert and he is confessing this psalm, because of your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift your hands. I will be fully satisfied more than the richest foods. I will praise you with songs of joy. It's a powerful, powerful passage. Just go back one slide there, Tristan. And so we are creatures of desire. We're not brains stuck on a stick, but we have desires of false attachments which try and pull us away from closing the door and growing. Remember, being filled with the Spirit is surrendering all of my life. It's surrendering my comfort. It's creating that gap that I need. But it's also saying no to the things that I so desperately want. But the invitation is, His love is better than life. Last Easter, I love having friends from out of town come in because all the cooking really begins. And so we had some of our German friends in, and we had stuffed shells on Friday night from Pastor Wendy. Glorious. They came over to our house, and Rach made Greek bowls. Even more glory right there. And then on the third day, Easter Sunday, we had ham, we had potato scallops, we had all this. Scallops. Hey, don't judge the British man. It was the accent. It was building. And it's like what we could say what David said in the psalm. It is better than the richest foods. Do you know God's love like that? The best meal you've ever had, where you just lounge back and just enjoy His goodness. You feasted on something good. Have you experienced the love of God? Because the main call of a disciple, a follower of Jesus, every day is to make your heart glad with the goodness of God. Before you start interceding for this city, which I know you do every morning, Monday rolls around, you're on your floor mat and you are interceding for the presence of God to burst into your workplace and your family. I get it. But what if you took a step back and said, I'm going to fill my heart with the goodness of God. Before my day starts, I'm going to make my heart glad in the goodness of God. David can say that when all his world has been torn apart. He can still say, your love is better than life. Because he has a relationship that is behind closed doors, that closes off all things. So the invitation is, you have a gift inside of you today. You have a gift. I'd like to invite the worship team up because we're just going to have some ministry time around this. We want to create space for you today to experience the Holy Spirit. There are things inside of you. If you're a follower of Jesus, the good news is you have the Holy Spirit already inside of you today. You have the Holy Spirit. And so what we want to do is grow in that relationship, which looks like saying, I want to be uncomfortable. And it looks like saying no. So can we stand and just dim the lights today? Just in a final reflection, just before Abby carries on in this reflection. If you want courage, you need the Holy Spirit today. Will you wait? And in your waiting, in your abiding with Him, will you create a gap of discomfort? Will you be someone that says no to all the other things so that you can grow in the Holy Spirit? It's a free gift and offering. And we're going to lead some ministry time in a moment, but Abby's just going to lead us a little further in this.